And we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. And how many of you know God gave Abel the same message he gave to us tonight? He accepted his sacrifice, an offering of worship. But to Cain, he did not receive it or respect it. So we're going to talk about Cain specifically tonight. And I'm going to call this message, The Wanderer. If my vernacular might not be correct. It's The Wanderer, I guess. The wonder, if you said wanderer, you'd think of a dreamer maybe. But I'm talking about somebody who roams around. The Wanderer. I want you to stand with me. We're going to read a few verses here. We're going to start in Genesis chapter number 4, verse 5. This is after Cain and Abel had come and offered their offering. The Bible says that Abel offered the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. But Cain, this is what he brought, just fruit of the ground. Okay? And this is how God responded to Cain. He said, unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Or, in other words, God was warning Cain, saying, sin is there, and if you don't control it, it will control you. Then later on we read that Cain and Abel talked, and Cain killed his brother. And God calls to Cain and said, where's your brother at? Verse 11 here, I want to read from 11 to 16. God said, now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord said, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. That word Nod means wandering. He dwelt in the land of wandering on the east of Eden. Pray with me. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for laying this message on my heart. I pray, Lord, it's heavy tonight. I pray you just minister to hearts. Thank you, Jesus. You knew and know what you're doing. Love you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The Wanderer. It sounds like a John Wayne movie or a title to a country music song, and it may be, I don't know. But that's what we want to call this message tonight. And last Sunday night, Brother Jones was preaching about the pilgrim. I couldn't help but think that it was more than just coincidence that the Lord had been dealing with my heart previous to that on this subject here. I've been studying in the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, studying his life. And while I was looking into one of those verses, Jonah 1, 3 or 4, it talks about how Jonah, while God was speaking to him, Jonah rose up from the presence of the Lord to go to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. Now, that means as soon as Jonah got out of the prayer closet, he had his mind set on wandering away from God's plan for his life. And not only did he just wander off from that, but he wandered completely away. He tried to escape from the presence of the Lord completely by going to that place in Tarshish, one of the most remote trade cities of the Phoenician trade route of the time. Now, while I was reading that passage of Scripture, I was referencing with the Amplified Bible. I use that version of the Bible sometimes for commentary and for comparison's sake. And it referenced at the bottom of the verse, Genesis 4:16. So I went over there and I looked at it. I thought that was kind of weird. You know, I was like, well, let's just see what it's like. And this is what it fell upon, how Cain lived in the land of Nod. And I looked up what that word Nod meant, and it means wandering. Part of Cain's curse for killing Abel, his own brother, was to be a fugitive or a vagabond or a wanderer. And not once Cain went from being in the presence of the Lord to being known as a wanderer. He was a wandering man, not a dreaming man, a wandering man who dwelt in the land of wandering. You know, pilgrims, Brother Jones talked to us about them last week. Pilgrims have an idea of where they're going, and they have a purpose to live for. That's what a pilgrim is. You think about the pilgrims who came over here on the Mayflower. They were coming to a new land for a purpose. There was nothing that could deter them from their purpose. They knew they didn't belong in the mother country, so they said, we're going to a place where we do belong. How many of you are glad we have a place where we belong that's out of this world? Amen. But they were wandering. They wandered away from a homeland to go to a place where they belong. They weren't wanderers. They were pilgrims. Amen. With a purpose to live for. And the Bible talks about pilgrims in Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Listen, pilgrims, they know that they don't belong here, but they know they belong there. Hallelujah. But the wanderer, he has no place. The wanderer, he or she is always roaming about with no direction and no real purpose. And there are some in here this evening, you are wandering. And you know who you are. You've left the presence of the Lord to seek the pleasures of sin for a season. You've turned your back on God because you feel like you can make it on your own. And you've met with defeat in that. And now you deem yourself unworthy because of some of the choices you've made. Maybe you're wandering because you're trying to figure some things out. But whatever your reason for wandering away from the Father tonight, I want you to know God is calling out your name. And it's time to come to the Father. It's time to come to the Father. Those of you who may be contemplating leaving the church, you're wondering, you're weighing it in the balance. Should I stay in church? Should I follow God, or should I do my own thing? Should I go with my friends, and should I just do what the world says? What should I do? Listen, let me tell you tonight, stay in the church. Don't wander off. Every wanderer who is known among us, they would tell you, do not leave the presence of God. If they were being really honest with you. But those of you who are out there wandering in the wilderness, come home to the Father tonight. And we're going to take a few minutes here just to examine the concept of wandering, where it begins and where it leads, and then maybe contrast some things between a pilgrim and a wanderer before we pray. But the first thing I want you to notice from the text, and we'll examine it pretty good, interpreting Scripture with Scripture. I want you to notice that wandering always begins in the heart. It always begins in the heart. The heart, we talk about the heart as the seat of the emotions and the will of man. In Scripture it says that we speak out of the abundance of our heart. It also says that out of our heart are the issues of life. The heart is where our life is, right? Not only physically, your heart pumps blood to every part of your body, giving it life. And when that blood stops pumping into certain parts of your body, those parts of your body die. Just that's the way your life is. Your heart, the ideas, the ideologies, your convictions, who you are is in your heart. And God wants to be the king of your heart. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you have been in the church and you're a part of the church, God dwells in your heart by faith. Amen. And you know His love, and you know the fullness of God that you can experience. When we preach the gospel, we often say that God wants to rule your heart. Why don't you give your heart to Jesus? Let Jesus come into your heart. We even sing it, "Come into my heart." Why? Because the heart is where it all begins. We say things like, "Let's get to the heart of the matter." And when we talk about a team winning a victory, especially if they were the underdogs, we say they did it because they had more heart. The heart is where it all begins. And every choice is weighed in the heart. Every decision that you make, it doesn't just go in your mind. It comes from your heart. And wandering away from the Lord always begins in the heart. Looking at the text in Genesis 4 and referencing other scripture, you find that Cain has something wrong in his heart. Now, we got to be careful. We cannot see people's hearts. And so we cannot judge others based on what we think is in their heart. God can see their heart. But we can see actions. But then we can't see motives. You know, I mean, one of my kids hurts the other. Usually the motive isn't to cause pain. It's just they were playing too hard. I hope, actually. But we don't know the motive for sure. We can see actions. But another thing we can see is attitude. And when you marry action and attitude together, that shows you what is in the heart of a man and a woman. And Cain and Abel, they both went to offer the Lord a gift, an offering. And we don't know if it was something that was required of them to do. We don't know if it was just something that Adam had advised them to do. We don't know why they were doing it. Obviously, they were it was common for them to hear the voice of the Lord. And they knew, as Cain, he heard God speak, and he knew it was God. They wanted to give the Lord something. But Cain seems to be mingling his offering with some other deeds. And there was something off about his praise in his gift. There was something just not right. Abel's gift, let me tell you about Abel's gift. It was bloody. I mean, Abel gave a gift that cost a life. Abel gave of his flock. He gave of the fat and of the firstling. So not only did Abel give of his own possessions, he gave the very best he could give to the Lord. But Cain, it doesn't even say that Cain gave of his fruits. It says that Cain gave of the ground of the earth. So that tells me it's very possible that Cain could have been just walking around and, "Oh, there's a gourd. Let me give it to God," you know. Cain was not respected for his gift. You know why? Because it wasn't his best. And because it wasn't with the right heart. Abel's gift was with a heart of worship, a heart of praise, a heart of gratitude. And the Lord, the Bible says, had respect or accepted the offering of God. But Cain's offering was not respected. You know what that means? That means that Cain's offering did not move the heart of God. That's a scary place. And looking at other scripture in the New Testament, we're going somewhere tonight. Stay with me, all right? Hebrews 11 and 4 tells us, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." 1 John 3:11-12, this really gives us a glimpse into Cain's heart. It says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him?" Or why did Cain kill Abel? And this is why. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Works, plural. Cain was known for evil deeds. He was known for things that were not right. There was a spirit inside of Cain that did not dwell inside of Abel. And that's the same spirit that's in the heart of every wonder I have ever known. And it's these two things, the spirit of self-gratification. I want to do what I want to do. If it doesn't please me, I won't do it. And also the spirit of rebellion. Cain possessed that. And how do I know he had a rebellious spirit? Well, look at the text. If you've got your Bible open, Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says that when Cain's offering was not accepted by God, that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. In other words, Cain got mad at God for not regarding his offering. Now, the proper attitude, if his heart was right, would have been to repent and to say, God, I'm sorry, next time I'll give you my best. But God said to Cain, Cain, why are you mad? Cain was aggravated, angry because of God's choosing Abel over himself. His wrath meant he burned with anger or jealousy. But not only did he get mad at God, God began to speak to Cain some things. And he said, Cain, listen, the sin is lying at your door. And if you're not careful, it's going to gain control over you. So you need to control it. God, not only was God giving him a warning, but God was telling Cain, Cain, there's a way out of it. But what did Cain do? Cain disregarded the voice of God. Hallelujah. He rejected God's warning. That's a spirit of rebellion. God said, Cain, acceptance will come. He said, if you do right, you'll be accepted, won't you? And if you don't do right, sin's going to pounce on you and take control. That was the warning. God made a way out. Cain rejected it. Why? Because his heart was full of rebellion and self-gratification. He was a wanderer. Heart. Several years ago, I had to deal with a young man who was part of the music ministry, and he was posting some things that were inappropriate on social media. And so I conferenced with the pastor, and we decided I needed to have a talk with him. And so I talked to him. I said, hey, man, listen, you're posting this stuff on social media, and it's not appropriate. You're up on the platform. We have a standard, and you need to stop doing that. And I said, if you don't stop, we're gonna make sure you just aren't in front of everybody all the time, because that gives a bad light of the church. And so he said, okay. A few weeks go by, and he posted another very inappropriate thing on the internet. And so I brought him into my office, and I had tears in my eyes as I talked to him. I am not confrontational. Our youth group can tell you. They've seen me get mad like twice. And every time I do, I almost cry. And I hate that, man. It makes me feel like such a wimp. But I told him, I said, man, we warned you. And because of this, you're not allowed to play your instrument anymore during worship until just a few months. You can come back on if you stop doing this and you have a repentant heart. You know, he might have played once or twice after that and never made it back. If I could show you the man's face, what he looked like when I talked to him, man. I mean, he had a stone cold look. Like he could care less about what he's being warned about. And tonight, he's wondering. He's wondering tonight. He's backslid. He don't know God. Why? He had a heart of rebellion and of self-gratification. If I showed you all the people who used to be your friends and my friends who are wandering, and we could do a biopsy of their heart, we would see that it all started with a rebellious, self-gratifying spirit. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what Cain's desire was. Abel, he's given a good sacrifice. That's good for him. But I'm just going to give whatever I find lying around in the dirt. And if that's not good enough for God, then that's fine. I'm doing what I want. And he wasted his life. He wasted his life. Listen, it begins in the heart, and then actions follow your heart. There's a warning going out to you tonight. I wish you would hear me. Those of you who are wondering, let God change your heart before you follow your heart into a place of perpetual wondering where you can never get back to God the way you want to be right now. Listen to me. It's not too late for you tonight. God tried to get Cain to turn around. He said, Cain, listen, the chains are there. They're ready to take control. But if you just do right, I'll help you. Hallelujah. It's not too late to turn it around. A wandering heart leads to regrettable decisions. Cain killed Abel. I mean, come on. How quickly we see Eve takes a bite of a fruit and then her son kills her other son. How quickly sin can destroy a life and a family. Cain lost control. He made a decision he could never, ever get back. I mean, Cain and Abel, they're just talking in a field. And all of a sudden, something rises up in Cain. This would be a great place to kill Abel. I'm just going to take his life. Something aggravated him enough that hatred became relentless and unbearable, and he murdered his own brother. But I believe with all of my heart that once Cain realized the consequence of his actions, he regretted the decision because he told God, he said, God, listen, this is what you're doing to me. The punishment's too great for me to bear. But when you have a wandering heart, and if you don't turn it around when God is warning you, you're going to make decisions that you regret and that you cannot reverse. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But we've all heard or even said this statement, if I could go back, I'd change this or I would do this differently. But some of those decisions that we made that we wish we could change, they're of much greater magnitude than just maybe putting money in a stock market that went sour. No, some of us have made decisions that we regret, and you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Let me get real with you right here. We've got family members. They're being battled greatly in their marriage right now as I speak. And I was dreaming about them on Friday night, and this time change has gotten the baby all crazed out. We need to just quit this daylight savings time. I was telling them this morning, when she wakes up at 6:30 or 7, that's no problem. I like to get up at that time. But 5:30 in the morning, my wife hasn't been feeling well. So at that time, I usually just say, okay, I'll make her a bottle. I'll go back to sleep and you can feed her. But she hadn't been feeling up to par. So I'm like, okay, I'll take care of her. You get some rest, whatever. And I had just been dreaming about my family. And I woke up to the baby's cries. But I believe it was the Lord waking me up. The Lord began to speak to my heart about that dream. And one of the persons in that dream, they've been making some bad decisions, regrettable decisions. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm almost done tonight. The Lord spoke to my heart one word. He said, irreversible. And I just thought about that. I mean, that person can never go back and reverse the pain and the heartache that the wandering heart has led them to do. I've thought about that word several times since then. You know, Cain can never go back and reverse his decision. He can never go back and pick his brother up again. He can never do it. Listen, you can never take back those words that you said. It's irreversible. You can never fully gain back that level of innocence you once possessed. It's irreversible. You can never undo the pain that you caused. It's irreversible. You can never unsmoke that joint or unwatch that pornography. It's unreversible. You can never unkiss that guy or that girl. It's unreversible. And you can never recover the years that have been lost. It's unreversible. Irreversible. Irreversible. And Cain made decisions that were irreversible. And he dwelt in a place of wandering. I want to just stay there for a brief second here. He dwelt at a place. I mean, Cain knew the presence of God. He heard the voice of God. He knew what it was like to be in the presence of the Almighty God. He'd heard the stories of how God had killed some animals and given the fur to Adam and Eve as a covering. And how God had even still spoken to them, even though they disobeyed Him and rejected Him. He had heard of God's mercy and God's grace. And yes, he knew of the pain of sweat and of the pain of childbirth from his mother, knowing what she had gone through all the children that she had delivered. But he also knew of a promise promise that God would send a man that would bruise the serpent's head. Amen. He knew of those things, yet still Cain dwelt in a land of wandering. He couldn't get out of it. He could never find a place of rest or refuge. But I want to tell you tonight, those of you who have wandered away from God, you can find refuge again in the Lord if you will just heed to the sound of the Lord speaking to your heart tonight. But the Lord, even though your decisions are irreversible, God has given me another word for you tonight. They are redeemable. Hallelujah. I said they are redeemable. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me tonight. You may have made some decisions that are regrettable and irreversible, and they've caused pain and wrecked those around you. But listen, you can still be redeemed. Amen. And God can come in and redeem the situation. God can come in and redeem the pain and restore the relationships and remove the mark of sin. He can still come in and do that. Hallelujah. God, why? How do I know? Well, how do you know, Brother Cruz? Well, I know from experience, and I also know in Jeremiah 3:14, the Lord said, "Oh, backsliding children, for saith the Lord," he said, "turn, for I am married unto you." What does that mean? God is committed to trying to woo your heart out of that sin. That's why he laid this message on my heart over a week ago and told me to preach to you. There might be some things in your life you'll never go back and change, but God can change your heart tonight. Amen. God can change your heart tonight right where you're at. Hallelujah. And he wants to do it. Cain dwelt in the land of Nod. He was forever wandering. But throughout Scripture, you'll find examples after example of the Lord accepting the wayward wanderer back to himself. Jesus even illustrated with several parables, including the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son. Why did he do that? Because he wanted you to know tonight, on this night, November the 12th in 2017, you've been wandering and you've been contemplating, just completely walking away. Oh, don't do it. Turn around and come back to the Lord. He'll accept you. All the baggage, all the problems, all the things you possess. Your family might have given up on you, but I want you to know God hasn't given up. You're not unworthy to come with a repentant heart, because the blood of Jesus, it cleanses from all sin. It cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah. You might have killed somebody. I don't know. Hopefully not. But if you did, the Lord can forgive. You might have messed up in a way that you're so embarrassed about. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Pastor. But if you just go to God, all his blood can cover a multitude of sins. And he's calling you back tonight. Throughout the book of Judges and later in the prophets, in minor prophets, you find God continuously reaching for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He is all the time reaching for them. He's all the time, listen, I know you messed up and I'm going to give you up to a people. They're going to cause you to come to a place where you're really low and brought down. But once you hit rock bottom, you call out to me. I'm going to help you. And that's what God did time and time again in the book of Judges. They would disobey. They would do their own thing. They would do what was right in their own eyes. That's what the scripture says. But then God would send a wave of destruction their way, and they would be under subjection to the enemy, and they would realize and look around, what in the world have we got ourselves into? We need to get back to God. And God's calling you back. He's calling you back. His love is unconditional. And the reach of his arm is limitless. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your scars. Come as you are. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your scars. Come as you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands right now. Sister Katie, come. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pilgrim has a place of refuge to run to and be saved. The pilgrim has a name to call on and be helped. The wanderer does not. The righteous have a shepherd who make a way where there seems to be no way, but the wanderer does not. The righteous have their steps ordered by the Lord, but the wanderer's world is chaotic. The righteous have a peace that passes all understanding, and the wanderer is always in a state of unrest. The righteous enjoy the bountiful blessings of the Father's house, and the wanderer is traveling down a road that leads to the pig pen. So I'm going to ask you tonight, which way do you want to go? Because right now, God is making a way for you to find redemption and grace. God is making a way for you to find the help that you need. You've got to make your way to Him.
You have all.
If you've wandered from the Lord in your heart, you need to make your way to the altar right now. Hallelujah. Oh, if you've wandered from God and you know who you are, in your heart you've wandered, you've tried to save face with the congregation, maybe with your family, but in your heart you've wandered. Just begin to come, make your way to this front. Begin to cry out to the Lord. Maybe you haven't even tried to hide it, but God is calling to you tonight to come. Oh, do not wait. Do not wait. The Lord said, if you stay in that state that you're in, He can withdraw His hand from you. Oh, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. If you've been wandering, come. If you've been wandering, come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to wait for a little while. Saints of God, pray. If you've been wandering, don't forbear. You need to make Jesus your Savior. He wants to save your soul. He wants to bring you back to the Father's house. Maybe you know you're not where you once were and you're kind of teetering on the brink of falling away. Listen, you can come to the front right now and just begin to make things right with the Lord. Let Him mend what's left of your relationship with Him and start fresh tonight. Jesus, I love you. God is calling to your heart right now. Sin lieth at the door, but if you do right, you'll be accepted. But if you do wrong, sin will control you. Close the door on sin by making your way to the front tonight. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But the way the Lord speaks is the way He does, okay? And He called out to you right now. He wants you to come and make an effort to get right with Him. Step out in faith, knowing He's going to accept you. He will accept you. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Maybe you don't understand completely. Oh, just come down and just begin to talk to God. And repent of your sins and let Him be your Savior. Hallelujah. Make your heart right with God. Even if you might be right with God right now, but you're feeling the effects of the world around you, just come and let God strengthen your heart tonight.
Lift up your face, a wanderer, come home.
God had you in mind tonight.
You're not.
He had you in mind tonight, and He is reaching for you.
So lay down your hurt.
He's made a way.
Lay down your heart. Come as you are.
He's made a way.
Lay down your burden.
We're going to wait for a few more seconds.
Lay down your shame. Oh. All who are broken. Lift up your face,
wanderer, come home. This is where you belong.
You're not too far.
You don't belong in the mess that you're in. You don't belong in the world. You belong in the church. You belong with Jesus. Hallelujah. This is where you belong right now. You don't belong wrapped up in chains. You don't belong under the control and dominion of sin. You belong in the hands of the Father. And He's reaching out for you right now.
All who are broken, lift up your face. A wanderer, So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Lay down your burden.
I'm going to ask everyone that will just to come lay in down here and gather around the front.
Shame.
Begin to call out on the Lord.
All who
maybe
are
if you know your heart's right with God, pray for those who made their way up here to
lift
try and strive to make it back to where the Lord wants them to be. But if you are in the seat right now and you've wandered away from God in your heart, come with those who are coming right now.
You're not
come with those who are coming right now. Heed to the warning that the Holy Ghost spoke
so
to you today.
Lay down your heart. Come as you are.
Oh, yes.
Lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. A wanderer, so lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. A wanderer, come home, you're not that far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home, you're not that far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Shame. All who are broke.